Okay, this is Alyssa again. Can people hear me?
Yes, this is Lars Demon. I can hear you.
Great. So this is just a reminder to everyone to mute your line when you're not speaking. I have echo a little bit myself right now, I think. But hopefully if everyone's muted, then you won't have to be muted centrally, and that will help us with some of the issues we've had with the hand raising and hands being lowered automatically. So do we have anyone on the call who is not in the Adobe Connect room? Okay, so the secretary will take the roll call from the Adobe Connect room. Thanks a lot. And we're looking at the agenda for today, six items today. We have a two-hour call scheduled. Not sure if we'll use the whole time, but we certainly have a full agenda. Is there any comments on the agenda, anything anyone would like to add? Okay, I don't see any hands raised, so can you go ahead with agenda item number one, which is minutes approval for our last two calls. The secretary can project the minutes for calls. Okay, so these are the minutes from our call on the 16th of May. These have been out for comments for quite a while. Any objections to approving these minutes?
Alyssa, it's Paul here. While we have silence, I really need to ask if people will mute their microphones, please, if there is an echo on the call. Thank you.
Yep, I hear it too. Okay, hearing no objections. Let's continue to hear echo. I think we still have the echo. If the tech folks want to mute everyone centrally, that might help. We were trying to avoid doing that, but clearly it's still a problem. So. So we have no objections to the approval of these minutes, and I think we can consider them approved. Thank you. If we could look at the next set of minutes. Okay, these are the minutes from our the last call that we had. Have also had some revisions on the list. Any objections to the approval of 6 minutes? Anyone need more time? Okay, seeing no hands, I think we can consider these minutes approved. Thank you. And now we will move on to the update on the status of the CWC proposal, and I will turn it over to Martin.
Thanks, Alyssa. Over the last week or so, we've worked our way through gradually refining drafts of the CWG proposal, and a call that I wasn't on last night. I don't know whether anybody else in the room has was on that call. But during that, we got to a document that is now open till midnight UTC for any last, and I emphasize the word, drafting comments. The document is pretty well final, and the intention is that the chairs of the CWG will transmit the document to the chartering organisations tomorrow, i.e. the 11th of June, with a covering note. The chartering organisations will all have their own processes for accepting the report. And it's expected that that will take place during ICANN week. That's just about as far as I can go. The document has got a lot more detail from the document I spoke to the group 4 weeks or so ago about, but essentially has the same overall structure. And seems to have had quite a good level of acceptance, and since then we've been working with the comments that came in through the consultation period, and all comments are being at least addressed, and many of them adopted in the new and final document. So I think that's about as far as I can go at this stage, but it all looks set for there to be a document for in quasi-final state by sometime tomorrow, or perhaps for some people they'll be seeing it on Friday. Thanks.
Thank you, Martin. Just one question in terms of the process. Does the CWG have a meeting plan for the end of the ICANN or shortly after the ICANN meeting to, agree that they've received acceptances from all the SOs and ACs and send the proposal back to us? Or what does that last step look like in the planning?
It would help if I unmuted my microphone. I have not seen any final arrangement for the accepting that we've received all chartering organisations' input. We are having a certain number of meetings during ICANN week. The CCNSO meets, the council meets on Wednesday, and so that would be the earliest that the CCNSO would be able to adopt. The GAC, I guess, is around about the same time scale. I don't know about ALAC, and the GNSO council is again sometime around then. There is a meeting on the Thursday morning overlapping with the suggested ICG meeting from whatever 12:30 is UK time, whatever that is in Argentine time, but it is for the first hour and a half of the ICG meeting scheduled for the 25th of June. So
okay,
that is actually a working session.
Got it. Caboose, go ahead.
Good day or good time to everyone. Martin, thank you very much for two things. First, you speak very, very distinctly. You separate the syllabus one from another, and we non-English spoken have no difficulty at all to understand what you are saying, but we have difficulty in particular when Alisa is speaking. Half of what she said, I didn't understand at all. I'm not criticizing her, maybe criticizing myself, but your presentation was absolutely good and even better than good. Second, thank you very much for all. I have one question. You said that the report or the outcome of the CWG will be submitted to the chartering organizations for accepting. Is accepting a binary, yes or no, or accepting with some either comments or questions? This is question one. Question two, from the email exchange of the GAC, I saw some comments sent to CWG and CCWG. The part of CWG, I don't know whether it was considered or not, or whether the two GAC representatives raised those questions and were considered in one way or other. Thank you very much for that. And Alisa, I'm very sorry. Please excuse me. I apologize. I did not want to offend anybody, but I want just to understand and benefit of the discussion. Thank you.
Go ahead, Martin.
Thank you, Alisa. Two questions. First, the report going to the chartering organizations. I think during the week there will be ample opportunity for participants in each of the chartering organizations to have discussions with the CWG to further understand the proposal if and as necessary. Each chartering organization, they will have their own processes for accepting or at least not objecting to the document. I think we are all aware of the possibility that there might be comments or questions from each of those chartering organizations. I hope the questions will have been addressed. But I would actually note that margin for being able to amend the document at this stage without the whole document falling over, it is quite a delicately balanced consensus document, is very, very limited. So I would hope that the chartering organizations, having been involved in the process, will be in a position to adopt the document. The second question, I'm sorry, I didn't actually catch the very beginning of it, Cavus. Was it that there were some GAC members' comments to the CWG, or was it the input from the CCWG? Could you clarify, please?
Yes, it was comments to the whole process, but one section of the input was addressing issues related to CWG, and other sections relating to CCWG and other general issues. So one part relating to CWG, and my question was whether anyone has taken those comments, or whether the GAC representatives in CWG or participants of GAC in CWG have raised these comments or questions or not. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much, Cavus, for that clarification. In the case of all inputs and the document is yet to be finalized, there is a response to all the contributions that came in during the period of the consultation. In other words, how we have taken and used those comments. In the case of GAC membership involvement in the process, GAC members have been involved, have raised the issues, have flagged them, and I'm not in a very good position to be able to assure you how any individual comment has been dealt with, but the document in preparation currently should be able to do that. So if you've got any concerns at that stage, I'd be quite happy to hear them, probably best offline rather than waiting for our next meeting. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments on this topic? Okay, I think we can move on to agenda item number 3, which is a discussion of the feedback we received from the community during the time frame inquiries that we sent out. We have received responses from all three of the operational communities. We only just, at least in my time zone, received a response from the CWG, and we are still awaiting a response from the ICANN board, but that should be forthcoming today, is my understanding. So we'll have that for discussion at our next meeting. But perhaps we could start with a response from the IETF, and maybe, what is that sound? Okay. Someone is not under duress. It sounded like an alarm. So what I was going to say is perhaps we could have Yari speak for a moment about the response from the IETF on the time frame inquiry.
Yes, thank you, Alyssa. I think the text mostly speaks for itself, but we were basically saying that the IETF is ready essentially today to move forward or take the next steps. And for us, the next step is a new version of the SLA, which already exists in terms of what we want and the exact text. Just the execution is missing. Of course, since we are not alone in this process, you know, anything that happens at the ICG level or any interactions elsewhere might, of course, bring additional tasks, and you all know that as well as I do. It's just a reminder, two specific things. One is that we had this discussion earlier of the alignment between RIRs and IETF on trademarks and domains. We don't think from the IETF side that that's a prerequisite for the transition. It could be a separate thing that is done. But if coordination on that could be finished, then maybe that is an ICT task, then we could move on that as well. But again, maybe that's a separate timeline, and it's not a thing that we have to do before any of the other transition steps. And the other thing is this discussion of our relationship to the PTI structure. So we can, or at the time at least, we could see two different outcomes. One is that our agreements and arrangements that we have today could remain in place as is. And the PTI thing is, it's kind of an internal, important, but internal detail to ICANN side of things. And then we don't, there's no additional effort for us required. But if it was the case that we would have to be involved somehow in the finer details of the PTI or have some of our people participate that or move some of the contracts, then that might actually require more work, possibly considerably more work. And so therefore our preference is the former, that it's not affected us, and you know, whatever happens to PTI it's within ICANN, not affecting our arrangements.
Thank you, Yari. So my kind of reading of this is that, you know, to the extent that we have to compile a response concerning overall timeframes, get back to NTIA, that the steps that need to be taken by the IETF are unlikely to be the sort of gating factors. That is, if there's other communities that think they will require some amount of time for implementation, then that will certainly be longer than what the IETF will need, since it's essentially ready to go currently. So that's a useful bit of information to have. Are there questions or comments on this info we received from the IETF?
Not question directly to what Yari said, but in general, if there is any unclarity or ambiguity relating to this PTI and other sub-organs of the naming, which is in the CWG, which might have some legal interpretations and legal connotations, we could, if we have any such questions, raise those and ask for legal opinion of the legal advisor of CWG in a written manner. We have done it in CCWG for several cases, and in fact some other constituencies, they have asked that, but just in case that someone has any or require any confirmation of understanding or clarity relating to those activities, we could discuss them, and we decide if it is relevant, we could raise it formally to have a clearance on that, not to get to any difficulty in future. This is just a way of suggestions. It's not directly related to what Yari said. Thank you.
Thank you. Yari, did you have a response to that?
Yeah, I basically agree with what Kabus said. I would just phrase it slightly differently. I always like to think of things as people or the communities in charge need to decide what they want, and then the lawyers kind of come as secondary. So our response, I think, shows what direction to take in order to avoid any delays. I think that's a path that can be taken in terms of further details as they get developed on the PTI side. And it's not, at the time, I think, necessarily something that you could ask the lawyers about, but it's more like, tell the lawyers, do this, and then there will not be issues. More of a feedback than questions for them, I think.
thanks, Yari. I certainly agree. I think our first stop, if we have a question, should be the community that sent us a proposal, but we can leverage the legal advisors if we need to. Any other comments or questions before we move on to numbers? Okay, so if we could project the response from Izumi. Let's take a look at that. So the response that we received from Izumi doesn't actually speak to the question we asked, but really says that they will provide us with the information later in the month. And I was wondering if Paul or Alan, if you could maybe clarify a little bit for us, because it wasn't clear to me if they're sort of working on it and needed more time, or if there's something else going on. It wasn't obvious since we had asked for some initial input at least by today. And in theory, Patrick and Muhammad and I need to respond to NTIA by the end of the month. So if we don't receive anything from the number and community until the end of the month, then that could make things a little tricky. So that's my question about this response. But open it up for Paul or Alan if you have an answer to that or other thoughts.
Yeah, Paul here. I can comment. I think there may have been a bit of a misunderstanding about what exactly was needed by this stage. I think Chris took it as a progress update, and admittedly that's about all you got, and not a substantial response about the work that's being done. I don't think it wasn't understood that Chris needed to provide a substantial update by this deadline, and so I think we'd better clarify that, because as Izumi said, the work is still underway. It definitely is underway. I can that's what CRESP is doing, and they've stated that in the response that you received this morning, Alyssa. From our point of view, I think the implementation is it's a matter of two sort of only two substantial sort of components, which are actually sort of administrative, I guess, rather than substantive. In particular, there's the development of the service level agreement and the review committee, both of which are proposed, and they're the two substantial components of the CRISP proposal. So I think what will be updated substantially is that the service level agreement, that is the first and the major component of the proposal, has actually been drafted and has been open for comment for quite some time now. In fact, the deadline is the 14th of June. And so comments on the SLA will be received from all interested parties, including members of the numbering community and ICANN, and anyone interested. I think the NRO will take about a month to digest those comments and publish another version of the SLA by around mid-July. And whether or not that will receive another round of comments, I guess, is yet to be seen, or another round of review. The second component is the review committee, which is proposed as part of the CRISP proposal, and that actually is being written up at the moment and will be published. It'll follow a similar process of publication of that proposal and a call for comments, which will be slightly after delayed are beyond the timeline of the SLA, but it's a much less substantial part of the overall structure. So it's not one that's likely to cause, I think, any delays. So those two substantial parts of the implementation will be documented and will be provided in the response from press. And as Zumi said, there's also a due for some consideration at the moment in terms of any other factors that might impact on that implementation timeline. That's about all I can report at the moment, Alyssa. I don't know if Alan might have more to mention, but I guess what we need to do is to clarify what is the deadline for a complete response from Chris, because as I say, I think the request was taken as a sort of an interim update of progress, which is what was given just this morning. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul. This is Alan, if I may continue. The CRISP team has said that they expect to be able to provide more details by the end of June. So I hope the ICG can just wait for that. I would say that by the end of June, the CRISP team will be able to give better estimates on how long the remainder of this process will take. I think Paul's given a good summary of what's still needed, sorting out the SLA, processing public comments and drafting new versions of it, and also figuring out how to handle the review team. Thanks.
Thanks to both of you. I guess my question from a procedural standpoint is if... even if we can just, I mean, obviously we have now the update from Paul, even if we could just have that amount of substance, I think, in writing from the numbers community, say, before our face-to-face meeting, or, you know, sometime earlier in the ICANN week, that would really help us because Patrick and Mohammed and I were hoping to use that at least part of the working session at the end of the ICANN week to develop our response to NTIA, and our response needs to go back by the end of June. So it's a little bit difficult to write up the response by the end of June if we don't receive anything substantive from the numbers folks until the end of June. So do you think that's reasonable if we just write back to Izumi and ask for a substantive update by, say, a week from now, the 17th of June?
Yeah, I think so, Alyssa, if you feel that's needed. Maybe a common, a shared misunderstanding, but I think I understood that that the response was really a response from Chris, the marine community directly to NTIA, not a response that needed to sort of go to the ICG in order to be kind of assembled into a joint response on behalf of all the communities. Is that a misunderstanding on my part?
My understanding was actually that since we were the recipients of the letter, that we were the ones who had to send the response. So indeed, we had different understandings of it.
Yeah.
We were planning to collect all this information and synthesize it into one response.
Yeah, apologies for that. Well, I'm sure that something in the next week or thereabouts will be possible. Yep.
Okay. We can send a quick note back to Zoom.
I hope that makes sense to Alan as well.
Yes, I responded in the chat. I think we can get a more detailed response in a week. This is Alan.
Great. Thank you. let's move on then to the response from the CWG. So I don't know about everyone else, but I didn't see this until like 5 minutes before the call, and haven't really had an opportunity to digest it. So maybe you can just give people a minute or two just to read at least the email that we received from Grace, and then we will pick up the discussion. Okay, so hopefully let's get a chance to at least give this a quick read. Caboose, go ahead. Caboose, if you're speaking, we cannot hear you.
Hello?
Okay, I'm not... Go ahead.
Yes, I said that apart from general comments on some difficulties, there is no direct answer to the question raised. They said that they need this to be done, they need that I can do this, but does not or do not answer our questions by giving any timing. One community IETF mentioned they are ready today, even they were ready yesterday. The other, I think we've received information by end of June, I hope maybe earlier, perhaps possibly for our face-to-face meeting, if possible. But I don't see, unless I am not read properly, I don't see any clear reply to the question raised. Thank you.
Thanks, Caboose. So the one concrete bit of timing that is noted in here is the legal counsel estimate for the PCI setup items could take 3 to 4 months at a minimum, it sounds like. So that was kind of my interpretation of this, is that the minimum implementation time period for the CWG would be 3 to 4 months, could be potentially longer based on all of the other extenuating circumstances that they list. So that was kind of my interpretation of this, but definitely would like to hear from others, maybe from other people who have been involved in the CWG or who are more familiar with the part of the proposal that they cite in the email. So I have in the queue Jean-Jacques, and then Russ, Mundy, Martin, and then Joseph. So let's start with Jean-Jacques.
Thank you, Lisa. This is Jean-Jacques speaking. Two remarks and a suggestion. The first remark is along the lines of what Harous has just pointed out, which is that the response from the CWG stewardship co-chairs is rather vague as far as timeline is concerned. It gives the rationale to explain why it's not very accurate. My second remark is that I think it's a bit unfortunate that this response seems to underline the responsibility of the independent counsel to the CWG stewardship, as if the signatories were saying, oh, well, you know, that depends entirely on the lawyers and it's not really our stuff. So my recommendation flows out of these two first remarks. It would be that our ICG members who are in the CWG stewardship, I think that's Martin, Milton, and Shelton, is it? Would get back to their co-chairs over there and say, well, if you could give an additional response, a bit more accurate if possible, and without always putting forward the advice or the predictions of the independent legal counsel, that would be good. Lastly, I think, Elisa, that your conjecture is quite right. It looks like the response is asking for 3 to 4 months. So my question to you, Elisa, and to everyone is that compatible with our overall time frame? Thank you.
Thank you, Jean-Jacques. Just one note of response, which is that I think, again, to me it looks like the sort of minimum is 3 to 4 months, but could be more. And also that this is the one thing that I noted about this response is that it's primarily focused on the implementation, which means that it's not really coinciding with our ICG timeline because you know, theoretically, the implementation would not take place until after the proposal is sent to NCIA and approved. The note doesn't really speak to the proposal finalization timeframe, but I think we have an understanding of that based on our earlier discussion with Martin. Russ Mundy.
Thank you, Elisa. This is Russ Mundy. I'm in full agreement with Elisa's comments and Jean-Jacques' concerns about and Caboose's concerns about the lack of precise answer or, you know, full answer here. But I'd like to raise one other aspect of this that I don't think is addressed in the email. Having not studied it carefully, it could be, and I just missed it in the read-through, but it is, to me, completely unclear how, who, and what will be the approving entity for the articles of incorporation and the other legal documentation that needs to be put in place between the current ICANN and the newly created PTI. Is this something that ICANN will approve? The documentation and the relationship, is this something that the CWG will improve? Or are there some other entities involved? For instance, does this slosh over, so to speak, into the CCWG area? I think that is that aspect of approval of the tool or the definition of what this new this new entity will be is fully undefined and could itself require multiple months of approval activity by whomever it is that has or gets the responsibility for approving these legal documents. Thank you.
Thank you, Russ. Given that Martin is in the queue next, maybe he can speak to that a little bit in addition to whatever else he was planning to say. So, Martin, go ahead.
Thanks very much, Alyssa, and thank you for that unnecessary setting me up for a fall, because no, I don't think I can answer in any great detail, but certainly I would agree that there are a lot of unknown elements, for example, on ICANN input into the process, and the reiterations that might be needed to get a final document. But the reason I put up my hand is that essentially, once we've got this document to a point where it can sail, we are going to have as our critical path the process for getting us to a document to a series of documents that would allow implementation to go ahead. Russ is entirely correct that process, part of that process will have to be an approvals process, which is going to involve a certain degree of negotiation. And I don't think any of us have got any idea how long that is likely to take, bearing in mind that we will now be involved with ICANN's own legal team, and I don't think anybody would pretend that process will be slow. However, I do think that so long as everybody is feeling reasonably comfortable with what we have got as being something that is an operational solution, that legal input, preparation of the various documents and the negotiation with ICANN on what that would look like, I think can go ahead. And that can go ahead in parallel both with the ICG's own process and the consultation. If we can do that, I think while it might be our critical path and is almost certainly going to be on the critical path for the total solution, we shouldn't find ourselves stuck while everybody is waiting for it. I'm just looking down my notes to see whether I missed any other comments that people made. I think I've covered all the points that people made as best I can. But the point you did make, I think, is an important one. We have got a certain amount of time now within the CWG when we're not focusing exclusively on preparing the proposal to start looking at what more we might need to do, and that might then lead us to be able to give you a slightly more accurate information. So I will have an exchange with the co-chairs and find out what we might be able to do. Thanks.
Thank you, Martin. That would be very helpful, I think. I have Joe. Joe, if you're speaking, we can't hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
I was going to say that I have the feeling that the incorporation of the new PTI is possibly the most complex thing we have in terms of what it's going to look like, exactly what its functionality is, and what its contractual relationship with ICANN is going to be. And I think I agree there's a frustration that the letter doesn't give a better idea of a time frame, but I don't know that the letter is actually capable of giving a better idea of a time frame for that specific element. That being said, I just also wonder, you know, the PTI and its relationship with ICANN is not necessarily determinative of our assembly of a proposal. So, you know, I think this is one of those elements that's a little bit outside of our control but doesn't necessarily prevent us from continuing to do further work, although there might need to be some amendments to that at the end if the hooks are necessary to be in place. But I think there's a lot of community socializing that has to be done for PTI before it's a given. And I know that there was socializing within the inquiry that just happened, but I think there's a broader community that's going to weigh in on this, and I don't think ICANN is going to be completely silent about its former function.
Thanks, Joe. I think folks are agreeing with you. Cavus.
Yes, I agree almost with what everyone said before me. On the one hand, CWG may not be in a position to give a better reply, but it is different from what we expect. However, Alisa and distinguished colleagues, if you remember, in two calls before this, I raised the questions of the meaning of implementation. The plan for transition is different, or should be distinct from its implementations. ICG may not be in a position to provide any precise information for implementation. What we have to do to see whether the plan for transition, it works. With respect to the implementation, that is to be treated separately. However, what I heard in CCWG from the legal advisors, two legal advisors that we have, they are thinking that they need time to implement all of these. That means all activities required to be in place or committed before transition take place, and they said that they, together with others, they never mentioned who is others, try to put in, to implement that. So I think this is now a question we could consider that raising to the CCWG and CWG and also to the ICANN board member with us, getting some feedback with respect to implementation. However, I suggest that when we prepare our final proposal, we should distinguish between the plan for transition and its implementations. Because even maybe the legal advisors to the CCWG, they are not aware of the time that they need to do all of these things and ready, and perhaps we may not know the implementation time. So we have to distinguish these two from each other. But I fully agree in particular to what Joe and Rasmund mentioned. Thank you.
Thank you, Cavus. That's a good point. We're having this conversation because we were asked specifically by NTIA to provide some input about implementation timeframes. But in terms of our work on the proposal itself, we asked a question about implementation timeframes in the proposal, but what we need to deliver is the substance of the proposal, and we don't actually have to deliver the implementation itself. The implementation will be up to the communities and ICANN to finalize. So that's a good distinction to keep in mind. I thought I had seen Jean-Jacques' hand go up, and I know we're still having hands that go up and down. So, Jean-Jacques, did you want to get back in the queue, or did you take yourself out of the queue?
Thanks, Elisa. I took myself out of the queue because I put my remark in writing on the chat. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And Joe, I saw your hand go up and down as well. Do you have a further remark, Joe?
No, I'm fine, thanks.
Okay, and Daniel as well.
Yeah, go on.
Okay, so I think this is good information that we received. Martin has taken an action to follow up with the chairs, in particular, I think, on this point about parallelizing the implementation steps and the rest of the work that we have to do in the ICG. But also, if Martin, if you can seek any further clarification in terms of the overall time frame as well, that would be great. But I think we're all in agreement that it might not be possible to obtain much more concrete information. Just to kind of reiterate something that we discussed before, the point of this discussion is to get some information back to NTIA so they can consider their contract extension and what they intend to do with that. And so in some ways, what matters is not having something that's precise, but getting them the kind of ballpark information and also for them to understand the cumulative effect of all of the things that need to be done, including on the CCWG side. So, you know, whichever one of these components is going to take the longest, that's the one that is of most interest, I would imagine, to NTIA, because that's what they need to plan for. So we don't have to necessarily give a very precise response. We just need to give them the best that we can provide by the end of June. Russ Mundy, did you have a comment?
I did have one quick comment, and that is as the PTI, as it is currently defined, becomes more real, is this something that the ICG thinks we need to ask the RIRs, IETF, if they see an impact on either their operations or implementation with the creation of this different legal entity, or are we just, do we think we have enough information that unless those communities actually raise something themselves, we will just let it sit, so to speak, and think they would raise something if there was a problem, or should we take an active role and ask?
Thanks, Russ. I think that question will likely come into play when we do our assessment of the combined proposal, once we have the official final version of the named proposal. I know that both of those communities provided input to the CWG during their public comment period. And at least from my reading of those comments, that they seem it all seems workable, you know, at first blush. That's certainly something that we within this group should raise, and the representatives from the various communities that are affected should raise when we do our combined proposal assessment, if they think there are issues there. Okay, so seeing no more hands going up and down, I think we can move on to our next topic. We have some administrative items, I think. Oh, no, we're talking about the combined IETF and RIR proposal. Okay, so the chairs had asked the Secretariat to, in order to get as much ready for our public comment period as possible. While we waited for the new proposal, the Secretariat has put together this the combined proposal containing the IETF and the RIR's components that we previously received. And we've had some discussion on the mailing list about the structure of this. The way that it's structured is that the the two components that we received remain intact, but they have just been appended to each other so that they exist in the two parts of this document. I would expect that when we receive the names proposal that we would likely insert it as the first part and then have the other two parts follow. We had some discussion about whether the individual sections of the RFP responses should rather be interleaved instead of having the separate communities exist in separate parts. I think we have come around, or folks have come around to the idea that letting them sit in separate parts is preferable. That's certainly my preference, as I said on the mailing list. So we can continue to talk about that, but I thought everyone had kind of agreed on the structure of the document. So maybe we should pause there, and just if anyone wants to have a further discussion about the structure, let's do that now, and then we can talk a little bit about what I had been calling the preface, but which might end up being called something else. So any comments or discussion on the structure of the combined proposal? Okay, seeing none, then I think we should also just spend a moment to talk about the language that will appear at the beginning of this document in some format. It might be an executive summary or an introduction or a preface, or we might have more than one of those, but I think it's quite obvious to me that we will need some words at the beginning of the proposal to explain what it is and provide some other context setting. And we've had a lively discussion about this on the mailing list. And I think we are at the point where we have kind of a list of the components that should exist in this section. I do think I have just gone back myself to the most recent message that Martin sent on this topic, and that I think provides a few good points and a good summary. First of all, that this section, maybe we should call this section the executive summary of the document. It probably makes a little more sense than calling it the preface. And in that sense, it would have, it could be a little bit lengthier and have a number of different components. I think we've talked about having a summary of the proposal in there. I think we've kind of gone back and forth about how much we should leverage our own charter and how much we should talk about the process that the ICG and the communities used. I think for both of those, we can, there's probably just a few sentences of context setting for the reader to understand where this proposal came from. So there's probably language in the charter we can use for that, and just a very brief discussion of how it was developed. We've also talked about having a perhaps brief explanation of IANA, what it actually is and does. Again, from my perspective, I wouldn't want that to become too long, but it might make sense as the context setting, you know, before we have a proposal about how we transition to stewardship, it would be good to explain what the thing is that we are talking about. And then are the components that relate to our assessment and, you know, how the proposal meets the NTIA criteria, how it meets the other assessment criteria that we have set out for ourselves. The kind of compatibility and workability and accountability of the three components together. So we have a bunch of ideas on the list about, you know, structuring that and the various components. I think we should continue that on the call. And I see that we have a queue. So let's start with Daniel.
Yeah, this is Daniel. Hello, everyone. I'm I've been following the discussion about what content we should add in the sidelines, and I have a more high-level strategic remark to make rather than a nitty-gritty remark. And the high-level strategic remark is that we should try to avoid generating new language that describes the context of this all. Why? Because I think it's not necessary, and because it can take quite a lot of time, and it will be sort of, you know, every comma and full stop in it will be scrutinized again by the spin doctors. So what I advise very strongly is to have recitals. That's fine. You just say, you know, we were chartered like this and da da da, and maybe refer to for the description of IANA and the arrangements, refer to the ESAC documents or anything else, but not write new language, please. I think what it's important to I agree that we should describe our process based on our charter. So the process by which this was content that we are describing there was created. That's fine, but it should be very factual and short. And of course, we should add our assessment. But creating new language about context and all like that, I really strongly advise against doing that. It takes a lot of work, it takes a lot of time, and it doesn't add anything substantial. I don't think we need to write a tutorial here. That's my point.
Thank you, Daniel. I agree, and there's folks agreeing in the chat room as well. Good point. Paul.
Thanks, Alyssa. I just want to raise an idea that that I raised on the chat in the last meeting and received a bit of support, and that is about, well, really, it's also a question of the value add, if you want to put it that way, that the ICG can provide to this process. Now, we've been asked, and the charter of the ICG is to produce a plan, a single plan, but there aren't too many plans that don't involve stages and steps. And I think the plan that we produce can involve multiple stages of this transition. The fact is that we've got two communities out of three who appear to be ready now, or at least who will be ready by September. And in a two-step or a three-step process, we could advocate for a transition that releases one or two of the communities from the NTIA contractual arrangements in the first two steps, followed by a third. So I'm not suggesting. I agree that the proposals from each of the three communities should stand and should be included as they are. But one of the things that the ICG could do is to propose that the three plans be undertaken not as a single, in a single step, but in sequence. I think there's some advantages to looking at this possibility. That is that rather than seeing the transition as a single sort of unitary monolithic step, it's something that can happen in stages, and those stages can help to provide some of the stress testing or some of the sort of risk mitigation that you know, is otherwise heightened by a single step transition. There's also the fact that if we do not have any transitional steps at all happening in September, then it may be seen as some form of failure of this process, that we've had a long and involved multi-stakeholder process that has failed to meet the goal that was set for it, which is that the transition was supposed to happen in September. To be able, as an alternative to that failure, to be able to show one or two out of three components of IANA being actually in transition at that time is probably or arguably better than having nothing to show at that time. So I'm just suggesting again, and as I said, I mentioned this on the chat at the last meeting and received a few positive remarks, that we might consider a plan which involves some contingencies, as in a multi-step process. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul. So, because I know that people have strong opinions about that proposal, what I would ask is if if we could run the queue as follows: if people have other items they were going to raise about the combined proposal, not in response to Paul's suggestion, but anything else, if we could put yourself in the queue and have the discussion of those, and then let's see where we are, and we can come back after we've cleared the queue of those comments, to Paul's suggestion, or perhaps we might reserve some time for it at the face-to-face, depending on how long the rest of the discussion goes, because I don't want us to wander off into that conversation too much, just knowing that we have a few other items on the agenda for today. So thank you, Paul. Let's hold responses to Paul for a little bit later in the call. And if folks have other comments on the combined proposal, then please put yourself in the queue. Who I have in the queue right now is I have Jean-Jacques, Cavus, Alan, and then Joe. If you fell out of the queue and you want to be in it, please write in the chat. But let's go with those four for right now. Jean-Jacques.
Thank you, Lisa. This is Jean-Jacques. Yes, I think that I owe an explanation, because in the long exchange of emails over the past 2 weeks, I started off by mentioning added value as the real contribution of the ICG. So I was not suggesting that we should invent out of nothing some language or some ideas, of course not. But it is our duty, I think, to make the most of the contributions which we receive, and to order them, to lay them out in such a way that that organization effort and that effort at clarification is in itself a contribution, in other words, added value. That's the first remark. The second remark is, in all these suggestions I saw, I think there is some confusion or lack of clarity between, or lack of distinction between, essential and what can be considered as interesting, but which could be put in attachment to the main draft. So this is something I feel very strongly about, and I would advise that we put in the text itself, in the plan itself, some of the things you mentioned, Alisa, which is first a summary of the proposals, and then something about process, briefly, and based on our own charter. And here I agree with, I can't see who it was, who had proposed that we don't put new language, but use which is already agreed. Oh, yeah, that was Daniel. I agree with that. And then an explanation of IANA, that I think should go into the attachments in the same way as more detailed information about the process followed, that should be also in the attachments. And finally, the ICG assessment according to, one, the NTIA criteria, and two, other requirements we may have found necessary on our own, that would constitute really the contribution, the draft itself, the plan itself. So in resume, the plan should contain a summary of proposals, a brief word about process, but with the relevant more detailed documents as attachments. 3. What is IANA? There again, a very brief reminder with agreed wording and with attachments as necessary. And 4, the ICG assessment. And there again, there we can be more detailed, but as necessary, put things in attachments. Thanks.
Thank you, Jean-Jacques. I fully agree, and I like the direction that you're going with the appendices or the attachments. And that's good for us to consider as well, right? So we'll have the structure of the whole document will likely be executive summary, part one, part two, part three, and then we will have our own perhaps appendices at the end to further explain the process and IANA and so forth. I really like that structure. Caboose.
Yes, I fully understand the frustrations of the numbering and protocol parameter communities that their proposal was submitted on 6th and 15th of January and has gone through some checks and examinations and so on and so forth, but it relates connected to the other proposals. But we have to act in accordance to our charter. We agreed that this combined proposal of 2, community out of 3, be put outside the ICG. Very good. First of all, we have to mention in the introductory part or summary why the third proposal is not there. We should explain that. And we should explain our logic that it was understood that it would be beneficial that at least these two proposals, which are almost ready, put into the public comment, if I understand correctly, for the people. We have to explain because not everybody attending the ICG and not everybody reading the output of the ICG. So people expect the action according to our chart. This is the modality. Now, on the principle, I do not agree with Paul saying that these two could be implemented from transition point of view. The transition will take place after the proposal is sent to the NTIA, and the proposal sent to the NTIA, according to the charter, should be a complete proposal. So there is no transition. I don't understand why he said that transition could take place from the September, and I don't understand he said that people will be frustrated. Never 15th of December was the deadline, or end of September, sorry. 15th or end of September was the deadline.
I'm sorry.
It was objective.
And I just 2 points here really quickly. First of all, just to be clear, there's no intention of us putting the combined proposal out for public comment before we have the named proposal. So this is what we're looking at now is the current draft because we don't have the named piece. But the idea is that we will insert the named piece and then put the draft out for public comment. So there will be no need to have introductory text explaining that the named piece is missing because it won't be missing. It's just that we sort of started creating the draft ahead of time so that we would be ready when the named piece is also ready and also so that we can get it off to the translators to get it translated in the meantime. And then just the second point, I really do want to put off this discussion of the point that Paul raised until a later time, possibly a later date, because it could be a longer conversation, and we talked about it before. So if you have other points to raise about the proposal, then please make them, but otherwise I'd like to move on.
but I wish you allow me to complete my sentence and do not interrupt me. It's not appropriate.
I am trying to run the queue here, right? And I asked for this, but it's asking to be deferred.
Let us not have a conflict with you. Allow me to complete, and then you agree or disagree. You have listened to everybody. You need to listen to me as well. So, what is the purpose of putting these two proposals together? It is internal. It is not external. You said external. What does it mean, external? If it is
so once
not
we
going
have the
outside,
names proposal,
it is internal.
It will go into this document, and then we will put it out for public comment.
But it goes to public comment? It doesn't go to public comment.
Once we have the names proposal, it will be inserted into this document, and it will go for public comment. That's the idea.
The two proposals go to public comment, right?
With the names proposal as well.
But the two proposals, I said that if you want to put it public comment, you have to mention why we do not have the third proposal. You have to mention that. What is the reason?
So the intention is that the third proposal will be added to this document, and then it will go for public comment.
But now it doesn't go to public comment, right?
Correct, yes. It goes to public comment, you know, July or August.
So what is the purpose of providing these two? It doesn't go to public comment. To do what? To be happy that, okay, we put these two proposals cut and paste? Because it's cut and paste. There's nothing more than cut and paste. So what is the objective of putting these two when it doesn't go to public comments? So the objective was
to get agreement about the formatting, make sure everyone is comfortable with that. We had the discussion about the structure of the document, and I wanted to make sure that everyone was in agreement with that before we send this version of it to the translators so that it can be translated, and also to stimulate the discussion about what other components there will be in this document, as we've just been discussing with Mr. Zach, the executive summary and the appendices and so forth. So this is it's a process in development, right? It's just the fact that we do everything in public in this group doesn't mean that we're, that just means that we have to have our intermediate stages be public, but we're not putting this document out for public comment until it's ready and all the components are there, including the executive summary, the names proposal, and it sounds like some appendices.
But when I asked you if it's going to outside, you said, yes, it's going to outside.
Yes,
your reply.
When it's done, perhaps that wasn't clear, but when it's complete, it will be out for the public. But it's not complete yet.
But I said, this document going out? You said, yes. No, this document does not go out because it is not complete.
So I think, had a misunderstanding in the chat room.
I'm sorry. And now I have to comment on Paul Wilson mentioned that even if the third part is not ready, the transition could take place. My answer is no. Transition could not take place at all, number one. And number two, the September was not a deadline. It was a objective. That's all. So transition cannot take place until the whole proposal is ready, going to public comments and two public comments. I insist you should have two public comments, but not one. Thank you.
Thank you, Cavus. So I have Alan, Joe, and I had Xiaodong in the queue. I'm not sure if Xiaodong is still in the queue or not. Let's go, Alan.
Thank you. This is Alan. I think the ICG also has a coordinating role. It's not just a matter of pasting these three documents together. There might be items which need more coordination. For example, what comes to mind is the trademark issue. We have a proposal from the numbers community which states that they would like the trademark to be handled in a particular way. We have a response from the protocols community which says they have no objection to that. And we have something, at least in the draft that I saw from the names community, which might be inconsistent with that. So I think the ICG do. You can't just paste the three documents. We have to figure out what to do to resolve any points of discord.
Thanks, Alan. And that certainly, again, is the plan for when we do the combined proposal assessment step. So those kinds of things need to be resolved when we actually take a look at the three proposals in conjunction with each other. And I would also say, to the extent that there, if we do discover inconsistencies and so forth, those need to be resolved through the process we established by going back to the communities and working with them to obtain a resolution. So it shouldn't be the case that I hope that we end up with this proposal where we have some covering letter that explains the inconsistencies, right? We want to get those worked out in the communities such that the constituent parts of this combined proposal are consistent with each other. That's what I think we're all driving towards. So Joe is next.
Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. What I just wanted to raise was, you know, when we have the final assembled proposal, and I completely agree with Daniel, we can use existing language. The more we craft new language, the more we'll have to get that language vetted to see how consistent it is with previous language, et cetera. But I may take issue with the need to be as brief as possible, because part of our mandate is one of the reasons that we have a period of time for comment after the proposal is issued is because that is meant to be the period of time during which consensus is established, especially across those communities which may not have directly commented into the operational communities. And in a consensus-building document, we need to make sure that we have laid out things in a way that's accessible to people. If we end up having a document that has 17 annexes because that's where the completeness of the information is, that's not a document that yields itself to being a consensus-building instrument. So I do think we have to understand that the proposal that gets issued first may have a slightly different need for context than the proposal that is delivered to NTIA. Not that the meat of the combined elements will be different. That will be the same for both, but the prefatory elements may actually have a different purpose. And we just need to consider that part of this document's function is outreach and consensus building. And so I just want to make sure we keep that in mind as we, you know, and we don't presume that everyone who's going to read this document has been involved in the process to date.
Thank you, Joe. Very, very good points. And also we should reiterate, I think, something that was said on the list, which is that we're focused here on the proposal that we put out for public comment. It's quite possible and I think likely that the surrounding material will change between that stage and when we send the document to NTIA. And obviously NTIA needs less of the context than perhaps the public does. So we should be mindful of that. Just one note for folks, we unfortunately, Arabic and Portuguese translations, the interpreters could only stay on the call for 90 minutes. So those services are no longer available for the last 30 minutes of the call, and we apologize for that. It's hard to schedule these two-hour calls and have the interpreter, all of the interpreters available for the entire time. So apologies for that. So I have in the queue next Xiaodong.
Yeah, this is Xiaodong speaking. I just give my question in the chat room. So I feel very, very curious if we just put the three proposals together and add necessary previous open comments, and then at least to get the public comment. But you know, in the first round, the people have comments for three proposals. And then the three community have modified their proposals. If we just merge the, we never do any kind of evaluation to check if there's some kind of conflict or not. We just put the three proposals together simply. I think it's there's no different, no big difference. I feel confused. If you just ask the people to comment our ICT preface.
Thanks, Xiaodong. So I think so that's actually a topic that we have on the agenda for the face-to-face, which is that, you know, in addition to whatever material we have in the proposal, I think we will also need some sort of prompting or questions that we put out to the public when we ask for public comment to direct people as to what it is that we're seeking comment about. And so I have in mind some questions that we, I think, will certainly want to ask about, you know, whether people feel that the NTIA criteria have been met and so forth. And so I think that your point is well taken in that we need to decide at what level of granularity we're asking people to comment. Again, being mindful that all the separate components of this proposal will have been out for public comment previously, some of them multiple times. So that's definitely something that we all should consider, and we'll have a further discussion of that at the face-to-face meeting. So thanks.
Okay.
Daniel.
Thank you, Lisa. On the point that was raised that, and I also saw it on the mailing list, that there are maybe different versions of the document for different audiences. From experience, I would warn very much against doing something like this. I think we should produce the document that we are chartered to produce for the audience that we are also chartered to produce it for, which is the NTIA, if I'm not totally mistaken. Or maybe even not that, but say produce the minimal substantive document that is our definite output according to our charter, let's put it that way. And if we have concerns, like Joe raised, that audiences that need to buy into it or at least not oppose it, and who haven't been paying much attention, may be confused, I think we should not cater for them in our output that we're chartered to produce, but we should take the route that, for instance, the CCWG is taking and many other groups like this are taking, is producing additional documentation, you know, slideware, infographics, tutorials, what have you, that explain the context and explain the essence of our product in a more accessible way. I caution very, very much against producing different form of documents. That will add a lot of confusion. And will again cause a lot of sin.
We have a two alarm call going here thus far, it seems. Thank you. Thanks, Daniel. Just one point of clarification, because now I'm getting a little confused, I think. So I think at least the point that I understood about having different versions is that it's possible that the explanatory material at the beginning of the document may change between the version that we put out for public comment and the version that we send to NTIA. So it's not the case that we would have two concurrent different documents, but that that this text that we're discussing right now that will go at the front of the document is what we want to put out when we put the document out for public comment, and then that we may edit it later before we send it to NTIA. And I think we should reserve the right to do that. But I agree that having multiple different versions of the document is not a good idea. Did I capture that properly, or is there some other point that has been made that I missed? Daniel, question for Daniel, if you don't mind responding.
I think my concern is about what's our real product. You know, what's the thing that we really are chartered to produce, and that we will discuss in depth, and we will have to agree as a group according to the process that we agreed of consensus. That this is our output, and I'm advocating to keep that as minimal as possible, so that we have the minimum number of words that we have to agree on, that we have to craft, and that we have to agree on. And if we want to, if we want to address a concern like Joe's, which I agree with absolutely, is that the other people who other communities or parts of the community that we want to understand this, and so that they don't oppose it they buy into it, whatever meaning, that we can produce additional material for them that we can actually have produced, maybe even, that we don't have to wordsmith in this group. We have to agree to it in this group, but it's not. It doesn't need the amount of scrutiny and the amount of work, and in the end, the consensus. So my caution is against producing any word that is not necessary, is not necessitated by the job that we have, by the charter that we have, by the thing that we need to do. That was my concern. So I would have a concern with saying, oh, we'll put one preface here, put it out for public comment, and then we'll delete that preface and send it to NTIA. There's going to be hundreds of spin doctors that are going to say, oh, they changed it. Yeah. And it's not necessary.
Okay, thank you, Daniel. At least I feel like I understand well, and I can tell people in the chat are agreeing with you, so understood. So next I have Joe, and then I think we will close the queue.
Yeah, Alyssa, I just wanted to highlight another reason why I think Daniel's approach makes even more sense, because at some level we want to make sure that the public comment has also gone on the spin we're providing to NTIA. So it's useful for there to be the exact commentary in the document that will be the document for public comment. We can then have an according document to that will be the document of, this is a little more information for those people who haven't been in the process, who may want some context for this document, and then we can lay that out in that document. Again, I'm still using source material where possible, but I think that bifurcation then allows people to comment on every aspect of the document we are proposing to transmit to NTIA, because if we create new language after the public comment process, it's a little unclear that is consensus commentary if we haven't had comment on it before.
Yes, agreed. Thanks, Joe. That's a good summary. Okay, so Daniel, I see your hand still up, but is that from before or is that something new?
Apologies.
Okay. All right. So I think this was a good discussion. I think we understand kind of the pieces that need to go in here. What I would suggest is that although there will certainly be gaps that we cannot write yet because we don't have the names proposal just yet, and we haven't done our assessment of it, I will endeavor to circulate at least an outline or perhaps a draft that has some pieces missing to the folks who agreed to volunteer on the drafting team before the face-to-face meeting, and so that we have at least something that we can work on when we're all together in Buenos Aires. we'll see how far we can get. There's a lot of pieces that will still be missing, but at least I think I understand the structure, and we can start kicking that around in the small group. So I think we should move on to our next agenda item. We obviously had the discussion from raised by Paul, and I would say that we, given the limited time that we have left on this call, the chairs will endeavor to get that onto our face-to-face agenda so that we can pick that back up, but I don't want to do that today because I can already envision the queue that we will have, and we'll overrun our call time for today. So we if the secretary can give the chairs an action item to figure out where that fits into the face-to-face agenda, that would be good. Speaking of which, our next agenda item is to look at the face-to-face agenda. So this has been circulated to the list just yesterday. We have 2 days of meetings planned for this agenda. We have sessions pretty well defined on the first day, and then we have a lot of time on the end of the first day and on the second day to pick up whichever topics seem like they need the most attention. So we'll be doing some real-time agenda editing. From my perspective, it's not exactly clear which of these topics will require more time. So that's why we wanted to leave it open so we can have a little bit of flexibility in terms of the planning. Just a couple of things to call out on this agenda. The first substantive item that we have on day one is for the CWG names proposal pre-assessment. We've already talked about this, and Wolf Ulrich did his pre-assessment. I put this on the agenda because I thought it might be the case that there are others who intend to do some pre-assessment of the names proposal, and I was curious if that's actually the case. So if we have anyone who is planning to give the names proposal a read, you know, within the next week, and if you think that you will have items to bring up to the full ICG based on your review of the names proposal, if you could put yourself in the queue and let us know that you plan to do that, that would be great right now. I see that Joe is in the queue, so go ahead, Joe.
Thanks. There was, when I was reading the 18th and 19th agenda, and then I was thinking about the fact that our topic appears a number of different times during the ICANN meeting, I was wondering if you wanted to have a specific time to prep any concepts for the actual meeting in Buenos Aires during the course of those 2 days, or do you think that will be done beforehand or kind of organically in the process?
When you say prep any concepts, what do you mean exactly?
Well, I think we've got there are I think a couple of times in the agenda where the transition and ICG's work is coming up. I don't know if we're going to have speakers on those panels, so I was just trying to figure out, is there a time you need to coordinate any activities during the ICANN week itself, and would the two-day meeting be useful to do that in a half hour or something? Because I haven't been able to see the agenda in detail, but I know there are a couple of topics, and just was wondering how we were dealing with that.
Yeah, so that's a good point. It might make sense for us to spend, a few minutes we did this last time too, discussion of talking points or some such. I think there's to some extent less attention, I think, on us at this meeting perhaps than on the CWG and the CPWG, but that's a good idea. I think we can work that in. I don't know at this point of any specific sessions at the ICANN meeting where an ICG perspective will be requested, but I expect that might happen sort of organically. So that would be good to have us all on the same page. We can add that to the agenda. Thanks, Joe. Caboose, go ahead.
Yes, there is a conflict of meeting between CCWG and ICG. Is it not possible to avoid that conflict of one day overlapping each other?
So, yeah, that's a conflict we have known about for a while, and I think just based on all the doodle polling and everything, we couldn't avoid having some conflicts. We actually have multiple of those conflicts during the week. So folks who are participating in multiple groups will just have to make their own decisions about where their time is best spent. But we couldn't avoid it. There's so many meetings happening into the weekend as well. You know, we tried this last time to meet on the Saturday, and that was not good for a lot of people either. So we can't really avoid the conflicts, unfortunately. Lynn.
Yes, hello, Alyssa. I don't have a concrete suggestion, but I just wondered if it might be worthwhile sort of reviewing the CCWG accountability work in a bit more detail rather than, I'm not sure if the agenda item literally is just meant to talk about how we made with that work or if we think it might be useful to do some kind of equivalent assessment of the accountability work to see if there might be any impact. But really just to understand and feel that we've done a thorough job in terms of assessing any potential implications. But I didn't know what was meant by the coordination of the accountability work, if it was literally just a high-level coordination item or if it was something a bit more.
Right, thanks, Lynn. So I think the idea was for that that item to be fairly high level, really looking more to make sure that insofar as we are progressing on our work, we are, not anticipating any barriers related to the CCWG work, and also that we are, the current plan is for us to kind of finish our two work streams around the same time. And so we wanted to, sort of get an update from the folks participating in the CCWG and make sure that's still on track and, to the extent that there are contingencies between our two pieces of work that we are all aware of those and know what they are. So that was really the idea behind that session. Because we're not really in a position to, we won't be doing any kind of formal assessment of the CCWG's output, I would hesitate to have us go too deep into the weeds in terms of the substance of their work. But if people think that they want to take a deeper dive, then we could, probably take more than 30 minutes, I would imagine. But I was thinking that's because it's a little bit outside of our remit that we should probably not do that. But if people want to, then we should talk about that. Anyone responding to my earlier question about the named proposal pre-assessment, the folks have plans to spend some time with the named proposal with their ICG hat on before we meet next week? Okay, seeing no hands, Patrick, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, I'm sitting in a little bit awkward place. Regarding the names proposal, we are in FSAC going through the names proposal and evaluating it quite carefully compared to the document with the recommendations that we had on what we believe from an FSAC perspective the operational communities would look at. This is, of course, something that a comparison that we might do for all of the proposals of them from the operation communities given our charter. But as a chartering organization for the CWD names, we as FSAC need to make a decision whether we support the proposal or not. And so we have started that formal review of the document of comparison with our view. I hope that that kind of review that we are doing is something that will help also the ITG when myself or us, that are with the two of us representing ESSAC, will can present it to the ITG. How far we have come next week, I don't really know, but we have at least started, and it will be possible for me and Russ to at least give some input on the evaluation. But we are, so let me phrase it this way, we are from ESSAC absolutely doing a pre-assessment, and we have already started and has come quite far. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Patrick. So to the extent that you and perhaps Russ will be able to share some of that next week, that would, I think, be really helpful for the rest of the group. So that's great. So just a couple other notes on the agenda here. The item at 10 o'clock on the 18th, planning for the combined proposal assessment, you'll recall that once we had the numbers and protocol parameters proposals, we had a few people who worked together on the combined assessment, looking at the overlaps and so forth. And we will want to have that volunteer pool ready again once we receive the named proposal. So we'll be asking for volunteers to do the combined assessment, and we will need people to do that, on short order as soon as we receive the named proposal, perhaps at the end of the month. So if you think that you might be interested or willing to do that, please give that some thought before we meet next week. And we'll be asking for volunteers for that. Also, just wanted to call out later in the day the item that Xiaodong spoke to before, where we need to do some planning for our public comment period. Think about what questions we want to be asking to the public once we have a combined proposal. And I'll be sending some more info to the list about that before we meet. But that's what that session is reserved for. And then we also have a session planned for on Friday, which is about public outreach. And this might get a little bit to some of what Daniel was talking about earlier in terms of if we need to do some other outreach, you know, around the public comment period, but also possibly afterward or before, to educate people about the proposal, to kind of put it in a context that's more understandable for a wider audience. We have a session planned to talk about that. So I see Cavus with a hand raised. Go ahead, Cavus, and then we will wrap up.
Yes, I see good reasons to go to the separate or individual assessment, but combined assessment of two may change when we receive the third proposal and we should have the combined assessment of all three. So I don't see too much reasons to go to the combined assessment. Individual assessment, yes, but combined assessment would be possible or useful and productive if we do that when the three proposals are on the table. Thank you.
Yes, Cavus, thank you. That is the intent. We're just lining up volunteers to do it, but they won't be able to do it until we have all three. So that's the idea. Okay. So I think, are there any other comments or questions about the face-to-face agenda? Okay. So our final item, which is the planning for calls and meetings after Buenos Aires. We won't go into a lot of detail on this one, but I did want to flag, first of all, that we have a doodle poll open for the time for our calls from July until October. So please, if you haven't filled out the doodle poll yet, please do that. It's closing today. We're hoping to nail down some times for these calls today. But if you look at the calendar, you can see we have sort of higher intensity period in July. We have 3 calls planned. This is hopefully when we expect to be doing the combined proposal assessment and preparing it for a public comment. Moving into August, we might have slightly less intense period, assuming that we're in the public comment period, but we might have ongoing analysis of public comments and so forth happening in August. So we have 2 calls scheduled in August. And then in September, as mentioned on the list, we have, we're hoping to have a face-to-face meeting in the middle of September, still waiting on Secretariat and others to get a final confirmation on location. Hopefully we'll have that information available very soon. We've been working on it for a long time. It's hard to find a place that can accommodate our specific needs with interpretation and so forth. People should definitely have those dates reserved in their calendar. And then we have a couple calls planned as well. So I just wanted to flag all of that for everyone planning. People had asked to have all of the dates and times in their calendars, and we should have the times for the calls and the locations for the face-to-face nailed down, hopefully before we see each other next week. So any comments or questions? Okay, great. So thank you all for a productive call, and we'll see each other next week in Buenos Aires. Safe travels, everyone.
Thank you.
Cheers, bye.
Thank you, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Good. Bye-bye.
Thank you. See you soon in Buenos Aires.